Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
This is Oklahoma Perspective. As recovery from the flooding continues, federal agencies have set up shop in town to help people affected by the damage. Recently, KRMG's Russell Mills talked with Scott Sanders from FEMA about the programs they offer to people who need help.
You have been on the ground here in Tulsa for how long now?
About 2 weeks.
Okay, and this is all kind of kicked off, as we know, here around May 7th. We started getting the really bad storms and the flooding rainfall, and we've had some historic flooding and all kinds of tornadoes. It has not been a good spring for Northeast Oklahoma, and that's why Scott and a whole team from FEMA are on the ground here, yeah?
That is correct, yes. It's been a very active spring. I think you could say that for most of the Midwest.
Yeah, and unfortunately, I think tonight we may see another round, so
yeah.
Get ready. How are things going, just sort of generally speaking? Has it been a pretty smooth process? I'm sure you've been down this road before.
Yeah, when the declaration first came out on June the 1st, there were three counties that were declared for individual assistance. And in the last 10 days or so, we've added more and more counties as we've done more damage assessments. And now we're up to 21 counties in Oklahoma that are eligible for FEMA individual assistance.
Can you explain the difference between individual assistance and public assistance?
Sure. Individual assistance is designed to help individuals, business owners, and renters with recovering from a disaster. Public assistance, even though it sounds like it would be for the public, it's really to help state, local governments, and certain tribal governments to help recoup the costs of damage to, say, public infrastructure, roads, bridges, parks, emergency services like evacuations, debris removal, that kind of stuff. So public assistance sounds like it would be for individuals, but it's really not.
Gotcha. So individual assistance is what I would personally apply for if, as actually happened to me, I had some tornado damage on my roof.
Absolutely.
Happily, I'm insured. And it's, you know, in fact, they've already cut us a check. They just said, yeah, you definitely took damage. It was mostly hail damage, actually.
Right.
But yay, I've got insurance. Not everybody does. And I think the big wrinkle here for a lot of folks is flood insurance. And there's still a lot of misunderstanding about what flood insurance is and who actually provides it. And in truth, it is the federal government, correct?
That is correct. Most homeowners insurance will not cover damage from flooding. They'll cover the tornado damage if it's fire, that kind of things. But flood damage is covered through the National Flood Insurance Program, which is managed by FEMA. And you need flood insurance to get recoupment for damages from floods. And like you said, a lot of people don't have it, and they're probably going to rethink that decision after the last month or so of weather.
Yeah, the rule of thumb I tell people is if you don't know whether you have it, you don't. So you need to look into it because, again, it's the National Flood Insurance Program, and it is the only game in town, for flood insurance. Now, I would imagine that you guys are pretty busy with folks, turning in claims or asking for assistance, or maybe you could characterize it for me. Has it been an all hands on deck kind of thing, or have things started to taper off? Where are we at in the process?
Well, I think, the declaration came out on the 1st, so we're, 18 days into it. So I think we're kind of in the middle of it. Some people are still kind of sitting on the fence whether they should register for disaster assistance. And I tell people, I said, if you've got damage that's not insured or not completely insured, then you should go ahead and register with FEMA. And it's pretty easy to do. People can go online to disasterassistance.gov and register online. They can call our 1-800 number at 1-800-621-3362. They can even download an app for the smartphone or tablet. I would encourage people to not wait to register, to go ahead and start that process. You should have already gotten a determination letter by your insurance company. If you filed with your insurance company, you should at least begin that process. But FEMA offers money and grants to help people repair or replace damaged goods. We work with the SBA to provide low-interest long-term loans to help rebuild your house. And then we have some other needs assistance, too.
Now, that's interesting. So the SBA can help loan money for rebuilding a private home, not just businesses?
Yes, so SBA and FEMA actually work together during a presidency-declared disaster. And it sounds strange, but the SBA offers individuals, homeowners, even renters, low-interest long-term loans or disaster loans. It's a special program they roll out. So we work with SBA side by side. And so when people get that application, there's going to be an SBA loan packet in there. And some people are like, well, I don't need a loan, or I don't want a loan. And they fail to fill it out. And then we have to kick the application back to them and say, you still got to fill out the application. So it holds up the process. So I tell people, fill out the entire application, the FEMA part and the SBA part.
Because that is, it's an incomplete application if you don't cover both those bases, is what you're saying.
That's correct. You're not obligated to take a loan from the SBA, but because it's part of the application process, you got to fill it out.
Okay, well, that only makes sense. And do you have any numbers at this point as to how many people have applied for assistance, or is it too early?
No, it's kind of a moving number. It's if I tell you the number now, it could change in an hour. But as of this morning, we had 991 approved applications for individual assistance, and we have just over $9 million approved for the individual assistance program. And those numbers are going to increase as we go forward, and that doesn't include SBA numbers either. That's just FEMA individual assistance.
Okay, and just make sure I understand what that number means. That's not the number of applications. That's the number of applications that have already been approved and not including SBA low-interest loans.
Correct.
Interesting. And is it primarily flood damage, I would guess, that you're seeing?
I would imagine so. The numbers don't tell me exactly what the damage is, but from what I've seen in my tours around the counties, flood damage seems to be the primary amount of damage around this part. I know some places, like I think Creek County, had more wind and tornado damage than others, and maybe Canadian County did as well. But along this part in Tulsa, everything along the Arkansas River seems to have gotten more damage from flooding than from wind and tornadoes.
Right. All right. So obviously you said we're kind of in the middle of this process. It officially started June 1. How long do you suspect FEMA will stay, yourself and your team will stay here in town working on this? Is it months, years, a couple of weeks? Do you have any feeling for
it? The registration process itself is 60 days long, so it's going to end on July the 31st. That'll be the last day for individual assistance registrations. We'll still be here to process claims. And then the entire public assistance process is going to be more kind of behind the scenes. You may not see it. It may be done more bureaucratically as we're trying to reimburse state, local, and tribal governments and certain private nonprofits, reimburse those expenses. We may be on the ground, much longer than that.
Okay. Now, it is, I think, important to let folks know, even if you don't necessarily think you need it, or that you maybe you don't think you're going to get it, you should still apply, because A, it costs you nothing but some time, and it's not
very true.
It's not that hard a form to fill out, and you don't need an attorney or a third party or anybody else representing you. This can be done and should be done by you personally. True?
That's exactly right, and it's designed to help people get back on their feet and recover from the disaster. I mean, if your house is completely wiped out, then you're definitely going to want to be seeking out an SBA loan to try and rebuild. But like you said, it doesn't cost anything to register. And even if you're turned down from FEMA or even the SBA, there's still lots of other programs out there. There's state programs, there's local programs, there's volunteer agencies, there's faith-based groups, there's private sector programs. We can connect people with all of those resources, but only if they're in our system. So even though you may not qualify, you should still go ahead and register, because there might be other programs out there to help you.
Scott Sanders from FEMA. David Reitz is the Public Information Officer for the SBA. He's in town offering assistance in a different way, with small business loans to help people get back on their feet.
Hanging out in Tulsa,
yeah,
because we've had a spring for the books. Mm-hmm. So much flooding, so many storms. It's just been a nightmare. And I think the first thing that people will ask is, okay, well, what's the Small Business Administration have to do with all that? What do they do? Because, and I looked this up. SBA was formed by an act of Congress in 1953.
That's correct.
That would be the Eisenhower administration.
You've done your homework.
I did a little bit. And, you know, the goal was obviously to help develop small business. But in a disaster situation like what we're seeing now, they also help individual homeowners. And I don't think a lot of people know that.
That's exactly right. And most people don't know that. The SBA during a disaster period is charged with not only making giving assistance, disaster assistance loans to businesses, but also to homeowners, renters as well, and even nonprofits actually are all eligible for SBA disaster loans. We're different than FEMA. We're a sister agency to FEMA, but we sit alongside them at all the disaster centers, and people can apply to SBA just like they can apply to FEMA.
In fact, the gentleman from FEMA was telling me yesterday that when you go to apply for assistance, there's going to be an SBA form in that packet. He says, and people go, oh, I don't need a small business loan, and don't fill it out. And then they have to kick it back to him because it is part of the application.
Not only is it part of the application, but people often don't know whether or not they're going to need it. They think their insurance is going to kick in. Maybe it will. Maybe it won't. Maybe it won't pay off as much as they thought. And the SBA is there to fill in those gaps. The other thing, and it's a small piece of information, but perhaps somewhat important, is there's actually a program that FEMA has. I believe it's called Other Needs Assistance. And it's a potential small grant that people can get. However, they are not eligible to even apply for that unless they have gone through the SBA process. If they've started the SBA process and been denied, then they can loop back to FEMA and possibly be eligible for some additional assistance. But they're not eligible to even apply for that if they haven't at least tried with SBA.
Gotcha. All right. So let me see if my somewhat fuzzy understanding of this is in any way correct. The FEMA, the Federal Emergency Management Agency, does grants.
Yes, they do small grants.
SBA does loans.
Yes.
That's
larger,
kind of like the primary difference.
Larger disaster assistance loans, up to $200,000 for a homeowner, a renter up to $40,000 for personal property, cars, furniture, clothing, you name it. Businesses, of course, we do that too, up to $2 million. Another piece of information about businesses is a business doesn't have to actually even be physically damaged to be eligible for the SBA assistance. So for example, if you have an area that was flooded, it was closed off, say the business in question did not even have any physical damage at all, but their customers couldn't get to them. Their suppliers couldn't get to them. The area was shut down for whatever reason, a tourist area that experienced a decline. They have a cash flow problem, and the SBA has economic injury disaster loans available that are geared strictly to cash flow if they've experienced no physical damage whatsoever.
That is interesting. So they didn't experience physical damage, but they experienced monetary damage.
Sure.
You know,
sure.
To their bottom line. So yeah. The SBA can help, mm-hmm. I guess, bridge the gap.
Exactly. Exactly. Galveston Island was a classic example when I was working there. It's a tourist area, but their tourist business was greatly impacted by their hurricane.
So you arrived in Tulsa when?
Oh, a week ago. And okay. By the way, I like Tulsa very much.
Oh, well, thank you.
Yeah.
We like it.
Yeah.
It's a kind of a unique town.
I call it
the biggest small town in the world because everybody knows everybody. Mm-hmm. But we got some culture. We got some music.
You do. I'm spending time downtown and really enjoying it.
Good, good, good. So how long do you suspect you'll be with us? Because the what would they call it, the registration period or the period in which people can apply for this assistance expires July 31st.
You have done your homework. Usually this is, I have to tell people this, but you've done well.
I've been living and breathing this thing for weeks now.
Yeah.
But so does that mean August 1st you're out of here, or how does that work?
Yes. Typically, well, the centers that are opened up are designated by FEMA. We go alongside of FEMA, and if they open one up, then we're there as well. It really depends on demand. If there's a lot of demand, then we're there right up until the deadline, August or July 31st, and possibly even longer, because when these loans are approved, typically what they do in order to make it go as fast as possible, they actually do the closings there at the center. So you could have the deadline pass, but keep the center open because that's where people come. The packets arrive there for you. You can walk in, talk, be face-to-face with a real live person, and do all the paperwork then and there. So they might keep them open, but frankly, it's really driven by demand and the amount of staff that they have available.
Now, the FEMA gentleman yesterday was telling me that they had, as of yesterday morning, approved just under 1,000 applications already approved. Mm-hmm. Have you seen any numbers yet as to what the SBA is getting in terms of either applications or approvals?
Yeah, I don't recall what the numbers were offhand, but it's right up there. It's in that 1,000 or better range as far as what's been applied for. There have been some that have been approved, and actually when I was at the center the other day, they said we've got our closing coming up this afternoon where they've already applied, they've been approved, and the money is sitting there. They just need to come into the center, which actually is in Sand Springs at the Case Center.
So it sounds like the process. I mean, clearly you've got had some mm-hmm. practice at this. Mm-hmm. You know, the United States has disasters quite regularly, mm-hmm. but it sounds like the process is fairly quick.
It's quick, and it's quite forgiving may not be the right word, but as far as it's not like a conventional loan where you go in, you got to have all your information there, or you look silly. The people there at the centers or on the phone, if they do want to call in, and I can give you that number later if you'd like. They understand that there's been a disaster. They understand that people don't necessarily have all their tax returns or whatever.
Right, because it may have been washed away by the flood.
Right. What they really need to do is to come in, get the process started. If they do have things there, they have documents there, the people at the center can just scan it in right there, and it's automatically part of your file. What you don't have, they can get it later. It's not a problem.
And have people... experienced that it's easier than they thought? Like, do they come in sort of dreading this process and they go, oh, wow, we're done?
Yeah, yeah. That it's quite easy and relatively quick. And again, they want to make these loans. They want to make this happen. It's the people at the centers and the people, the decisions aren't made in the field. The decisions are made at a central office where they process it. But all of them want to make this happen. They err on the side of making the funds available.
I wonder if people find themselves going, I had no idea I was going to be talking to the SBA today. I mean, does that happen?
That happens all the time. It happens all the time. The other thing that happens that I see on occasion is people who have thought what we talked about before, oh, I don't need this. I don't have a business, or my insurance is going to take care of it. It's only X number of dollars and I can handle that. And then it turns out that that's not really the case. The insurance doesn't pay off, or it doesn't pay off as much as they thought, or the expenses are greater than they thought. And they really wish they had this SBA approval sitting there in the wings. And they can do that. They can get the approval. And if they need it, they can accept a loan and take it out, or just let it sit there and not use it at all. It can be a great bridge loan as well.
So you basically have the option. You go ahead and apply. Okay, you're approved. All right, well, I don't want to borrow the money just yet. I
no
want
harm,
to make sure
no foul.
I need it.
Absolutely. Yeah. That happens all the time. Or I don't need all of it. Yeah.
So, and do they ask for a certain amount, or does the SBA look at the loss and try to figure out how much they qualify for? How does that work?
It's based on the damage. So let's just say, for example, somebody had $100,000 in damage. Their insurance was going to pay off, say, $25,000, and they got a $5,000 grant from FEMA. That's $30,000 altogether. The SBA would say, okay, well, you're eligible for $70,000. Now, if you get into the project and it turns out that it's more substantial than they thought, then that can be upped. That can be increased pretty quickly.
David Reitz, Public Information Officer for the Small Business Administration. Special thanks to KRMG's Russell Mills for the interviews. This is Oklahoma Perspective for Cox Media Group. I'm Bert Williams.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.